here at Brewlab on day one of Edinburgh Fringe, and I'm with Luke Tudball and Heather Bagnall, the writer and the performer in a new show for children called Ferdinand that's here premiering. My first question, I always start with a stinker. I'm going to ask Heather, the writer, is childhood dead?
No, childhood is alive and well. In fact, that's a big part of the show is celebrating and reliving the joys and the trials and tribulations of childhood.
I guess I ask that because quite a lot of shows up here on the Fringe seem to be addressing themselves not to children but to young adults.
Well, it's true. We write a lot in the show for adults, but it's so that they have something to enjoy while they're watching it with their children. Ferdinand really does have a lot of content for adults to share with their kids.
It sort of sets up talking points, you know. Part of the thing of the show is that we hope that after they've seen it and they're walking out the door or they're going home and they're in the car or on the bus or whatever, that maybe their child, you know, brings up some kind of discussion about bullying or, you know, growing up or school, and then that our show has kind of prompted a further debate and a longer conversation.
So before we find out who Ferdinand is, how did Ferdinand get written?
Ferdinand was quite a crazy little ride. I originally set out to write an adaptation of one of my favorite children's books, The Story of Ferdinand. Actually, used to be in the curriculum when I was a little kid. And it's the story of a bull who didn't want to fight but just wanted to smell the flowers. And I thought it was like a perfect metaphor for an anti-bullying show. So I set out to write this adaptation, and the characters of Tom and Ferdinand were my framework for this adaptation. Well, 2 years later, I was still struggling to get a hold of the publication because it had been sold a couple times, and I'd already done a treatment of the show which got picked up, so I had to write a show. So I took out the adaptation, filled in the blanks, ended up with a completely original story, which I absolutely love.
So is keeping the name Ferdinand just kind of sentimental for you?
No, it's a big plot point because Tom and his wife name their son Ferdinand because, again, it was one of his favorite books as a child. And Tom is raising Ferdinand with the same ideas of being big and strong but kind and gentle. And Tom has since lost his wife, so he's trying to honor her memory by raising his son with kindness and empathy.
In the spirit of the bull.
In the spirit of the bull.
In the spirit of the bull.
And so I want to just go into that process of writing still, so because people listening may not know. So I know you left that behind, but what does adaptation mean for you?
Well, for me, an adaptation is taking the themes and the ideas of the story and finding a way to put them on stage in a really accessible way. It's funny because even though this is an original story, people have still said it's a really nice modern twist on a classic story because there are still references to the book. There's the themes of the book are still prevalent all throughout all throughout the play.
And then when you look at a book and a writer's original intention and then you have your intention, where do they meet?
Oh gosh. Well, it's hard to say with this one because it was such a strange journey. And my original intention was to be very, very true to the book because I wanted to actually get it back into the school curriculum, and then I realized that I was headed down the rabbit's hole trying to just find access to the rights to the book.
Yeah. And now, interestingly, I guess even when maybe the original book was written, when I was a child, you know, bullying was physical and, you know, quite brutally verbal if it was there, along with physical. You know, it was quite devastating when both were together. And I remember, luckily, I don't think I was one of the bullied, but I remember seeing it happen. Now there's other kinds of bullying, isn't there? So have you kind of built that into the play as well? That we, you know, we've got words like cyberbullying and bullying becoming more subtle and changing.
Yeah, because it seems like these days a lot of things are a lot more psychological almost, and there's a big element of the show where Tom is working at his office, and he's having a really hard time with his boss, and you know a lot of people are telling him, "Oh, don't worry about it. He's just demanding," or you know, he just has high ideals and things. And then you say, well, actually, no, he really is actually a bully. Not Tom, his boss. And that can be one of those things that happens so much, and people kind of don't talk about it, or maybe don't even realize that they're being bullied at the time until something maybe, like you say, physical actually happens. Without giving anything away, there are elements of the story which bring those to the fore and kind of make you realize, oh, hang on a second, maybe there is a parallel between, you know, what's happening at school and what's happening at the office. And we hope to sort of draw those ideas out so that people realize, you know, it's not okay to have that situation happen. You know, if someone's a bully, they're a bully, and that needs to be dealt with.
And what kind of style is this then? Is this storytelling style?
It is. It's actually a very traditional storytelling tale. I mean, it is theatrical. There is a set. There is blocking. But it's really classic storytelling.
And so in terms of then the decision to bring that to the Edinburgh Fringe, why would you bring such a precious tale to this meat market?
Because I want this show to have a continued life. I think it's incredibly timely. It's the right time for it. I think it has legs, and I want to get it in front of audiences and producers, even if I have to go person to person and say, this is a beautiful story, and you need to get there, you need to see this. You need to bring this to your hometown of wherever.
Well, and I think for me as well, there's a big thing, especially this last couple of years, where general sort of mental health of people, of performers in general, and there's a focus this year on that here at Edinburgh, and so we're really happy that sort of this show is part of that wider program. But also, I think, you know, there's a rise in the numbers of, for instance, teenage suicides across the world, and it's a time when we need to start addressing these things, because even in Edinburgh, like you said, it can be a bit of a meat market. I think that people can feel kind of beat up a little bit. And we want to say, actually, you know what? It's okay to stand up against that. You know, we're all here doing the same thing. It's not a competition all the time. We can just be here to do great theatre, to tell great stories, and, you know, become great characters, and just do something fun that's also educational.
Heather, slightly tongue-in-cheek question, but here we are at the Edinburgh Fringe, and you've written something, a new play. It's very kind of precious, a play that you write, and it's a bit like, I've heard, it's a bit like launching a little paper boat out onto the water. And then why do writers then leap on the boat? You know, didn't you need to let go of it and hear how it was doing from afar? Why are you here?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm here partly because I'm directing and partly because my husband is starring.
But as a writer, even if you're here, do you need to sort of let the writing go a bit now it's here?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes and no. It's funny because even in rehearsals, there are elements to the show that are less important to me. And then there are just turns of phrase that are very, very important. And in the rehearsal process, a lot of times I'm justifying why I wrote something the way I wrote it, because I have a background in education, and so I don't write down to children. In fact, it's a big soapbox of mine with making sure that you're writing age appropriately, but still in a way that challenges children and is entertaining and engaging to adults as well. I'm also here protecting my words a bit.
And Luke, as you know, are you affected at all by, oh my God, wife writer is in the audience?
Yeah, I mean, you can't help that, really. I mean, obviously, I in all things want to please her. So, you know, it's one of those things that...
All things. Well, we've got that recorded, Heather.
I know, I sort of have to say that she's sitting next to me with a hot coffee. I genuinely really love this story. I really love the ideas of it, and I love the language of it. I love the way it's written. Like Heather, you know, I hate those shows. I hate is a strong word. I shouldn't say that. I dislike shows that sort of diminish children, because I feel like actually most of the time they're way more intelligent than we give them credit for. And so I don't ever want to talk down to them. And I hope that the way that this show comes across is that actually it's really adults talking to each other and telling each other anecdotes. Sort of if you were sitting around the kitchen table, you know. And I hope that the children see it that way. And we've had that response, you know, so far in some of our previews. So, you know, long may that continue.
But so husband, actor, wanting to please wife, you know, director, doesn't mean agreeing all the time, does it? I guess you please her by challenging her.
No, and I think it's actually healthy. Healthy disagreement is a big thing that should sort of be encouraged in some ways. I mean, I don't think that we ever have out-and-out fights. But, you know, if we disagree about something, we have a different point of view. It's actually okay to debate those things and then come to some sort of conclusion. I mean, one thing, for instance...
It's really important for the process. It's very important for the process because in developing the piece, especially as a writer... You can have absolute blinders on and see no other option. But once you're in the rehearsal process and you've got another voice and another pair of eyes and other ideas, I always say I want to surround myself with people that are far more brilliant than I am because they're going to bring so many other ideas to the table that wouldn't have even occurred to me.
Final question then to Heather. Is Ferdinand, if he were born today, going to grow up in a safer world in terms of bullying, or has it got worse?
Well, I would say it's gotten worse, but we're hoping in our small part to make it a little better.
I'll let you have the last word. Thanks very much indeed.